Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And hey, Julia, you're doing the slides. You're just going to have to just roll with it, all right? Acts chapter 2, we're going to be looking in verses 42 through 47. I normally try to start the messages with like a story, like a personal story of something, and with the hopes of making you laugh maybe, or to let you guys know that I am imperfect just like you are. And today we're talking about this idea about being devoted. And I was like, I wanted to come up with a story or a way of something that I was devoted to and like I just mastered, you know? And I was like, man, I was thinking about my job. I mean, here as a pastor, but also doing construction. Really, all I do is I watch people who have devoted their life to that craft, and they're really good. So, like, I'm good at just watching them do that. I know that. Like, I was thinking sports. You know, some people like dedicate their lives and they're devoted to it, and like they become the best in the world. And I'm like, no. I mean, I was all district one time. You know, like. That probably doesn't count. I was school, grades weren't necessarily my favorite thing to get those report cards. You know, I just kept thinking like, you know, when Fortnite came out, I was like, all right, here's my chance. All these 8-year-olds are playing a video game. I got it. And man, within 2 weeks, they were way faster than me. So I just gave up on Fortnite. So talking, I'm decent at that. I dedicate most of my time to talking. So maybe that would count as something. I do devote quite a bit of time to holding referees accountable. You know, that like it's not really a job, but and they don't really appreciate it, but I do that. We were actually at a game on Friday night, and Ben was playing, and Ben got the rebound, and he got pushed out of bounds, and they called out of bounds, and I was like, man, that's a bad call, you know. So I generally position myself close so that they, you know, just so they know. And I was like, so Lauren very rarely gets animated in a game, and she's over there cooking breakfast for us today, but Lauren very rarely gets animated in a game. And so she's always having to tell me to be quiet, you know, stop doing that. You're embarrassing us and all of those things. And so Lauren goes, bad call. I was like, that's a bad call, you know? And then Evelyn, our 5-year-old, who, you know, they're learning. They learn. Evelyn yells out, bad call. She puts her hands like this, bad call. And Lauren's like, stop that. You know, and it's like, okay, so I mean, I've dedicated my life to that. And I'm at the top of my game on that. Maybe that would count as being something to be devoted to. But you know, like when we think about devoted, that's a word that it's hard in this culture because we're really distracted. There's lots of things going on, but if you think about being devoted to something, I remember my wife training for a marathon. And I mean, it wasn't like you just roll out of bed the day of the race and it's like, here we go, I'm going to do this. I mean, it took months of preparation, months of training and working herself up to be able to run that far, not just to be able to run that far, but to be able to, you know, you have to start to eat things that will make sure that you can get that far, you know, like you can't be drinking Dr. Peppers and eating Twinkies, right? That's not going to get you into a marathon. I thought it might, but it didn't. I've tried that. It did not work. But like you think about being devoted, and it's this idea that it's not passive, right? So we're going to look in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. But the main verse, the main word today is this word devoted. It's not passive. It's not just this casual thing, but that it takes time and effort and energy. It's not a casual interest, but that you have to be intentional with it. It's about waking up thinking about it. It's about structuring your time around it and sacrificing for it. And maybe you've done that. Maybe you've trained for a marathon. Maybe you went to school for something more than an associate's, you know, or maybe you didn't. That's cool. I'm in there with you. Maybe you went for the PhD and like there was training and sacrifice and intentionality to get to that point. And you did it. But imagine if that devotion was pointed towards the Word of God. Like today, we're going to be looking at why the Word of God is so important and why that we as Christ followers should be devoted to that. Imagine if we just didn't read it occasionally, but imagine if we built our lives around this. What if we didn't just read it when we felt like it, when there was nothing else to do, when we felt bad that we didn't read it the day before? But what if we devoted ourselves to this? What if we didn't just read it, but what if we actually read it and allowed it to shape our lives? How much different would we look? And so we're talking about, what does it look like to be devoted to something? And it's not a casual brush it off whenever I feel like it. It is an intentional effort to get into the Word of God, not to feel better about yourself, not to check off a religious checkbox, but to read it so that it will transform you, so that it will reshape your desires. Acts 2:42 says that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. We're going to read that together. You ready? Acts 2:42 through 47 should be, it's up on the screen. Perfect. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. They were devoted to it. Today, our main idea is this. It says that our lives should be structured around the Word of God. That one's simple. Sometimes it's a wordy sentence, but this one is simple today. Our words should be structured. Our lives should be structured around the Word of God. We're talking about the ecclesia. We're talking about the church, the called out ones. And why is this portion of Scripture so important? Because it gives us the clearest picture of what the early church looked like. They were devoted to four things. They met together. They shared their possessions. They took care of one another. They were a family. It wasn't just coming in and out or jumping from one place to the next because you disagreed with things, but it was, we plugged in and we were family and we worked things out together. And so my thought on this, like going through this, is that we as the church, we are God's plan to bring forth heaven to earth. I think so many times that like we look at church and going to church and being the church as, man, we can't wait to escape. Right? Like, man, things are getting bad, and so we're just going to go escape and be with Jesus, right? Or something happens, and we're like, oh, man, Jesus is coming back soon to come and get us and take us away. We have to begin to see the church as not as a place to escape earth, but we are the vehicle by which God has chosen to bring heaven to earth. Like, our job is not to get out of here. Our job is to bring down heaven into the earth. Right? Jesus said, like when God was designing the temple and he told Moses, hey, here's the temple. I want you to do everything just like I've told you because it's going to be just like this in heaven. Right? His whole desire was to have a place down here so that he could be worshiped and glorified and he could come and dwell. And so us as the church, why is this series so important? We have to begin to realize that we are the people of God. That God's desire is to come and dwell with his people. Right? You have the Garden of Eden, right? God came and dwelt with man, and then they messed that one up, and they got banished from there. But so then God didn't just say, oh, well, never mind. Then no, God comes back. He leads them out of slavery. He sets up a temple, right? A tabernacle in the middle of the camp out so that he could be there with them. Then when they get into the promised land, they build a temple so that he could be in the middle of them. Like Jesus comes and is born here. Why? So that he could be with his people, Emmanuel, God with us. Like God's desire is always to come and dwell and be with his people. And that's where we are today as the church. We are the place, not this place here, but you people are the place where the Holy Spirit has come to rest and dwell and abide in, so that God wants to dwell with you so that we can be the church to the people out there. And so how are we going to do that? It starts by being devoted to the Word. The church is devoted to a lot of things when we talk about the church in America. Like, we do a lot of things. But we as the church have to be devoted to the Word. We live in a world that's pulling us in opposite direction. We're devoted to our schedules, to our screens, to our ambitions, our careers, our sports, but not always to the Word that gives us life. We live in the most distracted era in human history. I mean, there are 10,000 things going on all the time. Our attention spans are shrinking. I mean, if you don't believe me, ask a teacher, right? Like, I mean, ask a mom, like, trying to keep people engaged and kids engaged. Try to have a meeting at work and, you know, people are on their phone. They can't, it's hard to just sit still and actually engage in some with somebody. We scroll more than we sit. We consume more than we contemplate. We can binge watch Netflix for hours, but we struggle to read a chapter of Scripture. We memorize song lyrics, sports stats, I am good at that if you want to know a stat, and movie quotes. But when it comes to the words of Jesus, how easily we forget. The problem isn't that we're not devoted. The problem is, what are we devoted to? This guy, he's a pastor, John Mark Comer. Sometimes I just pause and I pray and I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. So if it might bother you, I'm sorry, but I just got to think and pray. So there's this pastor, John Mark Comer, and he says that our attention is the prize everyone is fighting for. The news cycle, social media, entertainment, and it's all designed to keep us scrolling, consuming, and reacting. Everything is designed to distract us and to pull us away. This idea of devotion is lost in this culture because, you know, commitment and being a man of our word, like, it's so easy to just flake and to ghost and to do other things and just get away and, oh, something else came up, so I'm going to go here. Or, you know, I know, like, the 2-week notice at a job that used to be a big deal. Now it's just like, you know, you just like silent quit, or, you know, you just don't show back up the next day. And it's like, what? Why? Because we're not devoted to anything that we don't want to be. We're just like, oh, whatever, I'll just go and do this. You know, and so I think for us, we have this desire to be devoted to things. And so the goal today is to bring us back to being devoted to the Word. If the enemy can keep us distracted, then he can keep us from devotion. If we're too busy, if we're too hurried, and if we're too consumed with the things of this world, then we'll never slow down long enough for the Word to take root in our souls. Instead, we'll become shallow Christ followers who are drifting, who are anxious, and who are powerless. The early church was different. They devoted themselves to the Word. When they met together, they went over the Word. It wasn't just something that they did. It was something that they allowed to transform them. Part of the problem is that it's become so easily to access. We have it on at our fingertips. We have 7 copies at home. We can pull up a social media and someone's talking about it. It's become so easy to get that we've lost the love for it. The hunger for the Word is gone because we're filling that hunger with lots of other things. The early church, this is all they had. I mean, these were the early church, the Gentiles. They were ones that were not welcomed in previously before Jesus. They were the outsider. The Word says that they were aliens. They were foreigners. Once they were not a people, but now they are His people. And so they took the Word and they took it seriously. It's like they had never had it before and they couldn't get enough of it. And I think sometimes we lose it because it's so easy to get. We lose our hunger for it because it's like, oh, I've heard that. Oh, I've already read that. Or, oh, I don't understand that. Or that's complicated. Or I don't like that one because that's not what I've been told. Or that goes against what my friends say. And so what happened is that we haven't structured our lives around it. We've made it an accessory to Christianity. We have forgotten that at one time we were aliens and foreigners to the kingdom of God. We've become so accustomed that we belong here that we don't desire the word of God anymore because, hey, we're here, we've made it. And the truth is, we can never forget that we weren't at one time his people. We were aliens and we were foreigners. And his words give life to us. Our lives must be structured around the word of God. That Greek word devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves. It means to persist in, to hold fast to remain steadfast. So when I talk about the word, being in the word, but reading the Bible, it's not this idea of like, oh yeah, hey, I'll read it today to check it off because it's on my devotional. No, I want you to understand that to be devoted to it is to persist in it, to remain steadfast in it. And if you don't, you can stay shallow. You can stay anxious, rushed, and distracted. No one's going to make you read it. But what I want you to do is I want you to go, man, that's something that I've missed. And you might be looking at me going, dude, I'm in it every day and I love it. Awesome, awesome, great. The third point will be for you. Two more you'll just have to endure through. But what I want to say is like, man, that the word, it's not a labor. Like sometimes we can get into this thing where it's like, oh man, that sounds so much like rules and regulation. And man, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And like, man, the Lord loves me. And I get it. I get it. And you can say, man, I love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you're going to love his word. He says, whoever says that they love me but does not obey my commands is a liar. And in John 8, 31 through 32, he says, hey, remain in my word. Right? The command is to remain in his word. And so my hope today is to just paint a picture of how beautiful the word is, how it can transform your life, how it can shape you. Dallas Willard, he's a guy, he wrote a couple of books on spiritual disciplines. And one of the things that he wrote is it says that the most important thing about a person is not what they do, but who they become. Not what they do, but who they become. And so this first point, this idea says that devotion to the word transforms us. It's not important that you read it. It's important that you read it so that you can become who you're supposed to become. We're not reading this just to have information. We're reading it so that we can be transformed. Who you are is shaped by what you give your attention to. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this age or to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is our mind renewed? It's by reading the word, by digging into it, and allowing it to renew our minds. Because the truth is that there is so much information out there. If you want an opinion about anything, just look it up and it's there. But what we do is when we're devoted to the word, when the word shapes us and forms us and transforms us, it renews our mind and it goes back to the truth right here. Because the word will say lots of things. They'll say lots of things about marriage. They'll say lots of things about gender. They'll say lots of things. And if you're not careful, they'll say it just right, just close enough to go, man, maybe that is true. You know, there's a guy out there that teaches that, oh man, in the end, love wins. And that at the end of your life, even if you didn't confess him as Lord and Savior, you get to heaven, man, then love is going to win out. And God loves so well that he's not going to send anyone to hell. And if you're not careful, you can start to go, man, that is true. God is love. How would a loving God send someone to hell? And you know, and then the teaching goes, well, you'll get a second chance after death. And if you're not careful, you'll go, man, that is true. And I can live my life however I want to right now because I know that I'll get a second chance. And the sad reality is on that day when you stand before him, and unless you confessed him as Lord and Savior, unless you devoted yourself to him, you know what he's going to say? Depart from me, you evil and wicked doer, for I never knew you. That's the truth. That's not Jeff's truth. That's here in the Word. But what happens is when we're not devoted to the Word, then when we hear those things, we're like, oh man, that could be true. That might be right. And they say just enough of the verses and mix it and match it and use a different translation to say something else and then go, oh, here you go. We've pieced it all together and we formed it. Being devoted to the Word means whatever this says, that's what I believe in. The Word is the foundation that our life is built upon. When we immerse ourselves in the Word, it reshapes our desires. Like we have to get into the Word and allow it to reshape our desires because my natural desire is to satisfy the flesh. You know, like, this goes towards that talk of like gender and sexuality, and it's like, oh, I was born that way, and so you have to respect me for that, and you were just born this way, and that's why you're that way. And the truth is, no, I was born into a sin nature. That my desires are for me, not for you. My desires is how can I accumulate all the things that I want? How can I feel good and never feel pain? How can I get everything? How can I satisfy me? That's my desire. But when we get into the Word, it reshapes that desire. It conforms me to the image of Jesus. Why is the Word important? Because our desires will lead us astray. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to have that. I'm supposed to have that nice new car. I know I can't afford it, but who cares, right? I deserve it. I work hard. Let me just go get it now. You see, our desires will lead us astray. I don't really like my wife right now. The way she talked to me hurt my feelings, so I'm going to go and I'm going to entertain myself with something on the internet, or I'm going to go find someone else that's going to appreciate me for me. You see, that's the desires. So why do we need the Word? Because the Word then shapes those desires and says, man, that's your flesh. The Word, the goal of the Word is to feed our spirit so that we can starve our flesh. Our desires have to be reshaped. When we meditate on the Word, it changes how we see God, how we see ourselves, and how we see the world. Why is being devoted to the Word so important? Because through this, we see an accurate picture of who God is. Because if you talk to the world and ask them who God is, they're going to give you thousands of different ideas and beliefs, and most of them are going to be wrong. Right? Because it's based on experiences. It's based on something that grandma told them. It's based on this or that or whatever. We have to come back to the Word so that we can see him properly, so that we can see ourselves properly, and then so that we can see others the way that Jesus sees them. The problem is that most of us are devoted to information and not to formation. We want to just know all the things, but we don't actually want to be changed by it. We talk about this sometimes, or you know, at least I do, on how many diet books there are out there on ways to eat healthy. And it's like, man, we have so much information, but no formation. We know all the things, but putting it into practice, like, do we really need a book to tell us that, or a documentary to tell us that McDonald's is unhealthy? Like, did anybody watch that and go, that is shocking? Like, do we need books to tell us, hey, don't eat sugar? Right? Like, I mean, yeah, that's, but what we do is we're not actually devoted to it. We just get the information and we go, okay, let me try that for a bit. And all we have is the information. I mean, you know, you can talk to certain people. It's always hard to like tell people that you're going to start eating healthy because you've just opened yourself up to all the opinions, you know? Have you noticed that? Like, oh, eating healthy. Okay, well, what are you doing? You know, and they're like, trying to do no sugar or this diet or whatever, you know? And they're like, oh, well, you know, they say this and that. And like, they have all the information, right? Like all the things. And you can ask 20 people and they all have, here's what you need to do, because we have all the information. But putting it into practice, like, think about how many books on dieting that we have here in America. And what's the most overweight country? America. We have all the information, but none of the formation. We have more copies of the Bible in the U.S. than the rest of the world does. But the church in America is weak and powerless. Something to think about. We attend church service, but we fail to be the church. We listen to sermons, but we don't apply them. We know Bible verses, but they haven't shaped our lives. We sing songs, but we don't truly worship. You see, the word is not just helpful advice, it's spiritual nourishment. Without the word, we are spiritually starving. We don't read it to get information. We read it to be conformed to the image of Jesus. The word is valuable. It is what feeds and nourishes our soul. Without it, you are starving. And you're out there starving in a world that's ready to pump you full of things that you don't need. And they taste good and they sound good because you don't have the truth in you. And I pointed at myself, right? So y'all didn't feel like I'm attacking you. Pointing at myself here, right? Right? Why do we cling on to the things that the world has to offer? Because we're so hungry, we'll take whatever they have to offer. Jesus said, I quoted it earlier in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you are really my disciples. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you continue in my word, if you remain in my word, if you abide in my word, if you do not depart from my word, then you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You see, true freedom doesn't come from knowing that the Bible exists. It comes from abiding in it, dwelling in it, and letting it take root in our souls. Like, we have to take what we read and move it from our head down to our heart. It's not enough to just know all the verses. It has to be more than that. It has to actually transform your life. It has to reshape your desires. It has to change the way that you live. Otherwise, you just have a lot of information that's not going to do you any good. We can't just read it. We have to allow it to reshape our lives. And here's point number two. The key on that is that devotion to the word requires us to slow down. The word is not something that we get to just rush through. The word is something that we have to, like the word, like the Bible says that we have to like eat the word. We have to, like, it is our nourishment. The word is not just for consumption to just like consume the knowledge, but it's for our transformation. We live in a fast food culture and we expect fast food spirituality. We want drive-through devotion, we want microwave maturity, and we want an instant impact. We think it's just going to happen. We just want it to happen so fast. You don't eat fast food and expect to be healthy. Right? I mean, hey, sorry, this is coming off a lot about fast food and eating. And I know I'm a chubby guy here, so I'm not like judging anybody, I'm talking to myself. You can't just skim the Bible and expect to be spiritually nourished. The word must be digested, meditated on, and wrestled with. Hurry and devotion cannot coexist. John Mark Comer, the guy that I quoted the first time, that's what he says, is hurry and devotion cannot exist. Deep spiritual formation does not happen quickly. Man, there was a lot about food and eating in here. You don't eat one healthy meal and become fit overnight. Have you ever done that, right? You know, you start the new diet and you eat a salad and man, next morning, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to weigh, hop on that scale. And what happens? You probably gained a little bit of weight, right? And you're like, well, this is the dumbest thing ever. Why did I do this? I could have just had that hamburger and Dr. Pepper last night, you know? And I wouldn't be feeling like this. The problem is that we so often aren't devoted to it. We're so short-sighted. We want this quick fix, and we think that it's going to happen, that we get into the word and it's like, oh man, there it is, right? We read Psalms one time and we're like, man, I should just know it all by now. You don't read one Bible verse and then suddenly walk in deep wisdom. It's that idea of when the Israelites were in the desert and there was manna from heaven that fell and it fed them for 40 years. That they had to go and gather it for themselves daily. The word, you have to slow down enough so that you can gather it for yourself. You can't get nourished as you need to be just flying through it. The key in that is that every man had to gather it for himself too. So often we depend on other people's bread. So often we're anxious to hear what this other person has to say about it. I said this last year, and it was kind of a gross analogy, so we'll see how it happens again. Good thing my wife's not in here. She'd be mad at me right now. But it's this idea that when you rely on other people's bread, it's as if I eat it, and then I regurgitate it, and I go, hey, here you go. But when you don't read the word for yourself, if you're just listening to me, if you're just listening to a pastor on TV, if you're just like not engaging it yourself, all you're doing is eating somebody else's regurgitation. Man, hey, stay after church for family lunch today, you know? Man, it's a good promo there. But it's so true that we rely on other people and all we're getting is junk. The other key was that it fell fresh daily. If it stayed overnight, it rotted, molded, and had worms. And so often we're living on yesterday's bread. And man, I wish it was yesterday's bread, but it might have been 3 weeks ago bread. We're like, oh man, that was so good. I read that 3 weeks ago. Imagine chewing on the same food for 3 weeks. That's not going to be very good. The key to the word, to be devoted to the word, is that it is for you. And it's got to be daily. Not so that religion can win. Not so that you can be like, I knew it. I was waiting for you to tell me to read it every day, right? I knew you were going to place that rule on me. No, I'm telling you because I don't want you to eat yesterday's stuff. I don't want you to be chewing on something for 3 months. I want you to have fresh bread. Psalm 1, 2, and 3 says, blessed is the person that meditates on the Lord's instruction day and night. They are like a tree planted by flowing streams, which bears its fruit in its season. Meditates on it day and night. Like, this isn't something that we just go, oh, hey, I'm going to read it today. Oh, and then 6 weeks later, oh, hey, I'm going to read it today. Or, oh, man, I'm really struggling with this. I better get into the Word. And we do it once or twice. But meditation on it, you can't rush through it. You have to slow down. You have to chew on it. You have to wrestle with it. And what I like right there is in that verse, it says, which bears its fruit in its season. Transformation isn't always immediate. It happens over time as we stay rooted in the Word. There's going to be days and weeks when you read and you're like, man, Lord, what was that? I don't know what that was. Or I'm reading and I don't see any change. I don't see any difference. And then one day it's going to go, oh yeah, that's right, I read that. Oh, that's right, there it is. There it is again. Or you'll read something like in the Old Testament, and you're like, man, that makes no sense. And then you'll get to the Old Testament and you're like, wait a minute, I read that. And then it's going to start to make sense. You're going to begin to see how the Bible is a story from beginning to end. It's one continuous story of God's passion and desire for humanity. And he does everything he can to redeem his people. You begin to see how it's all connected and it's all woven together. But you don't get that if you just read it in Leviticus and you're like, man, that is weird and I don't understand that. But then you'll read in Leviticus and then you keep reading daily and continually, meditating on it day and night. And then you'll get into the New Testament and you'll see where it points back to those same things. And you're like, man, I never would have got that if I would have just read that or just read that. But now that I've stayed with it, I've seen them together. I guess we'll just stick with the food and the weight thing. It's this idea that, you know, when you do start to eat healthy, you'll drop some pounds, but then you'll plateau, right? You ever plateaued and you're like, man, this is 3-4 week plateau. I don't know what's going on here. You can either give up or you can keep working, keep doing what the Lord told you to do. That plateau, it's not failure. That plateau is he's just doing things that you don't see the results in yet. Because when you keep with it, you'll start to drop weight again. There are times where you're going to open up the Word and you're going to be like, man, this was incredible. I just read that and that was amazing. And then there's going to be plateaus where you're like, Lord, I don't know, man. I've been reading, I've been studying. I'm in a dry spell right now. And then one morning you're going to wake up and it's going to go, oh man, there it was. You're going to open up, you're going to read it, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, there it is. That all makes sense. All of that plateau was worth it. Devotion to the Word will cost you. Like, I don't want to stand up here and say, man, do it, and it. No, devotion to the Word is going to cost you. Like I said, our problem isn't that we don't have devotion built into us, that we are devoted to things. Devotion to the Word is going to say, hey, you're going to have to give this up so that you can be devoted to the Word. And it might be, and there's not many kids, it might be Fortnite, right? It might be Fortnite. It might be a hobby. It might be something that you enjoy. But devotion to the Word will cost you. But the cost of ignoring devotion to the Word is far greater. You think, oh man, it costs me 30 minutes of sleep every morning. Stay sleeping in. Do your whole life, ignore it. When you stand before him, you'll see who's telling the truth, me or that other pastor that says love wins and you get a second chance. You can ignore it. I'm not gonna be at your house. I'm not gonna wake you up. It's gonna cost you. But the cost to ignore it is far greater. Let's do one more and then let's go have some breakfast. I'm hungry. I've been talking food. Here we go. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. there. Man, I was like, Lord, is that the seventh trumpet? I just said we weren't escaping and you're going to prove me wrong right here in front of everybody. Oh, Lord, I need to be humbled. They were devoted together. They devoted themselves together. We might as well just stop now, right? We're done. They were devoted together. The word was never meant to be read in isolation. We've talked about community in the past, and we're going to be talking about fellowship next week. But the goal is not to just read the word and go, oh, yeah, here it is, I got it. Because when you read the word and then you surround yourself with other people who are devoted to the word, you're going to read something. You can read the same passage, and you're going to say, man, this is what I got out of it. And they're going to go, I didn't get that at all, but this is what I got. And then they're going to say what you got, and you're like, that's incredible. They're both good. I just never got that. The word was meant to be used together in community. They devoted themselves. I want to encourage you, don't read it in isolation. It was meant to be discussed and to be lived out in community. The picture of the church is that we sharpen one another, that we build up one another. You know, that the word, it says in John 1, that the word became flesh and dwelt with us, right? Like, the word was never supposed to be apart from us. He dwells with us, and we need one another as we study the word to reveal things that the Lord's saying to everybody. When we gather around the word, it changes us and it builds up the church. Our lives must be structured around the word of God. So here's your chance to respond. Is your life shaped by the word of God? Or is it simply shaped by culture, by social media, by entertainment, or your pursuits? Whatever you are devoted to will ultimately shape your soul. Jesus said it in Matthew 6, verse 21, he says, where your heart is, or where your treasure is, what? I already said it. Don't prove nothing. Yeah. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. What you are devoted to will shape your life. If you don't treasure this, then it won't shape you. If you're not devoted to this, it's just another thing taking up space. I really feel that God is calling us back to be a people of the word, back to devotion and back to deep life-altering transformation. There's lots of things that can be fixed with the church in America, but the first thing has to be that we have to be back to being a church of the word. Like, we have to know the word. We cannot let culture dictate and tell us what is true and what is not true. This has to guide everything that we do as the church. So here's how you do that. One, you have to create space. You have to slow down and remove distractions and to just sit with it. It's not going to come natural to you, right? You're going to sit down and all of the things are going to come up that you're supposed to do. That to-do list, the things that you're supposed to be doing, the kids. You know, we have the office in our house, and man, you shut the door, and like, if I shut the door to go in there to do anything else, like, they don't bother me. Like, they're like, whatever, dad's in the office, all right. If I shut the door and sit down and open up the Bible, I mean, it's 2 seconds later. Hey, dad, can you turn on, dad, can you? I'm like, you don't do this with anything else until I open up the word, right? It's distractions. The enemy knows that if he can keep us distracted, then he can keep us from being devoted. You have to create space to be devoted to the word. Remove distractions. Leave your phone in the other room. Get a hard copy of the Bible. Write in it. Consume it. Because your phone will distract you. You'll have every good intention, right? I have every good intention of reading it on my phone. And then before long, I'm looking up sports scores. And I'm thinking about this. Oh, yeah. Well, let me. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I got to order more creamer. So I better do that, right? And so it's all these things when it's in my hand. But if it's here, then I can be devoted to that. When you sit down to read, Don't just make it about information, but make it about formation, about transforming your life. I say these three, I should have really wrote these down, sorry. Up there. But these are the questions that I ask myself when I'm reading a passage of Scripture. And one, I don't read like for quantity. I don't sit down and go, man, today I'm going to read 17 chapters or three chapters. I just sit down, I have where I'm reading out of, and I say, I'm just going to read today and let's see what the Lord has. Here's three questions that I always ask myself. What is God saying to me? Right, so we don't just read this and we go, okay, that was good. No, I say, after I read a section, I say, all right, Lord, what are you trying to say to me today through that? I say, how does this shape how I live today? Like, what can I take from this today? And how can I allow that to shape me today? And then the last one is, then I say, where is my life out of alignment with his word? When I read that and I go, man, Lord, I just read your word and my life doesn't reflect that at all. I ask those three questions, and it takes time. Devote yourself in community. I told you it's going to cost you, but this should not be the primary source of your spiritual nourishment on Sunday morning with me. That just shouldn't be the case. You should be devoted to the word. You should be gathering with people, going through that together. And can I say, the main idea today is that our lives must be structured around the word of God. Because imagine if we were a people that our conversations were saturated with scripture. What if our decisions were guided by biblical wisdom? And imagine if we truly lived the way that this says, then the world has nothing on us. Because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not even prevail against it. That's the church. We have to be devoted to the word. So I want to just like say, get in the word. Consume it. Desire it. Be devoted to it. Cut something else out of your life so that you can fit it in and make it a priority. I'm going to pray for us and then I'll bless the food for lunch. So Father, we just thank you that your word is true. Thank you that it is for us to consume, to heal us, to reshape our desires, to renew our minds. Father, may we be a people of your word. May we desire your word above all else. If there's anything that you want us to remove, I'm going to rephrase that, Lord. I know there's something that you want us to remove out of our lives. Would you reveal that to us? And will we make your word the first priority? In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Really just two announcements as we get going here, ready for lunch. Oh, I said I was going to pray and bless the food. Father, we just thank you for lunch today, the way that you provide and care for us. And thank you for the people that are over there helping prepare it. And thank you for the ones that brought food. Father, I just pray that you would bless that food and bless the conversations as we slow down just a little bit to spend time with you and with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.